From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of August, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Illinois Ag Economist Darrell Good will take us today through this morning's USDA crop production figures. It showed that a smaller corn crop and soybean crop will be harvested this fall in the United States. Matt Bennett at TGM Grain Elevator in Windsor will help us discern how that might impact fall basis and end users. And Peter Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, will be here with the weather forecast and some of the information traders will use to decide if a small crop will get smaller or a big crop will get bigger. This one, as we'll tell you today, is actually a little bit of both, depending on which side of the Mississippi River you might live. And it all happens right here in this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. The nearby contract in the May soft red winter wheat September up 16 and a quarter cents at $7 a penny and a quarter. December at 733, 13 and three quarters higher. And next year's July at 791 and three quarters, up 14 and a half cents for the soft red. Kansas City hard red at $8.41 for the harvest month July, 22 cents higher. September corn futures at $7.25 settled 24 and a half cents higher for the day. December 714 up 25 and a quarter. The March at 726 and three quarters up 25 and a quarter. And the May futures at 731 up 24 and a half cents. July contract in the corn pit 733 up 24 and three quarters. Next year's December at 638. 20 cents higher for the day. Let me come back to the December nearby. I think I gave you 25 and a quarter higher. It's actually up 25 and a half on the day. Again, the settlement price there at $7.14. August soybean futures, 1333 and three quarters, up 33. September, 1324 and three quarters, up 29 and a quarter. November beans, $13.31 and three quarters, 30 and a quarter higher. In January, at 1342 and three quarters, up 30 cents for the day. July contract in the bean pit at 13.53 and a quarter, up 25. Next year's November at $13 a penny and a quarter, up 19 and three quarters. August bean meal futures at 3.47.20, up $8.10. August bean oil a dollar higher at 54.03. Livestock finished the nearby August contract at 116.45 and live cattle at $2.15. October at 119.52 and a half, up $2.07 and a half. And August feeders at 134.60, up $1.30. August lean hogs at 107.20, up 92 and a half cents. The outside markets look like this for the day. September crude oil, $85.53 a barrel, up $2.63. Ethanol at 277 and 7 tenths, 7.5 cents higher. Natural gas at $4.10 and 6 tenths, up a dime and 3 tenths. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.89 and 3 tenths, up 2 and 8 tenths. And the gold futures on the day down $32.50 an ounce at $1,748.80. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gain of nearly 400 points, actually 399, at 11,119 now. The dollar at 74.67 is up 0.03. And the CRB index at 326.34 for the day, 5.91 higher. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, a beautiful day, a high near 80 degrees, calm winds. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 56 degrees. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high of 81, south-southeast winds between 5 and 8 miles an hour. Friday night, showers, a few thunderstorms likely, mainly after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy. A low of 65 degrees, south-southeast winds at about 6 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation tomorrow evening, 60%. Saturday showers and thunderstorms likely, mostly cloudy, a high of 82. Saturday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 63. On Sunday, skies will be partly sunny, the high near 78. Sunday night, clear and a low of 60. Monday, for the start of the work week, a high of 81 degrees, sunny skies. And Monday evening, mostly clear, a low of 61. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of the half hour. And we talk with meteorologist Pete Levitt.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon USDA crop production report today. The United States Department of Agriculture released its latest crop production figures. It showed for corn that the crop size would be at 153 bushels to the acre nationwide. On the phone line with us to talk about that and other numbers released by USDA is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Thanks, Dan, for taking time today.
Hi, Todd. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well. So this morning, USDA came out with a number of 153 bushels to the acre. I suppose you looked through the process and saw that they had dropped usage for the coming year. They managed to drop back usage for this year, too. What do you think of all the numbers?
Well, when you come up with a smaller production, you're going to have to drop the usage. I mean, you can only get carryover so low. And, you know, we've just went through a year where USDA kept talking about maybe a 750 million bushel carryover. And I think I have to go along, at least from my feel of the market, that we are probably carrying over about 950. That's kind of what usage is in 1 month. So it's kind of hard to, I think you and I have had the discussion, it's kind of hard to get down below what monthly usage is. So that's kind of where we're at. As far as next year goes, when you're only going to produce a 12 billion bushel corn crop, you're going to have to cut back on usage. Unfortunately, or let's hope that the crop doesn't go down any more than what it is, but I have a suspect that we're probably going to see some further downward adjustments in production as we go into the September. As a rule, when you have short crop years, USDA's August number is usually on the high side, and it kind of comes down from there. So I think the trade will probably gear up for a smaller number as we go on into the September report.
So here are some of the other numbers. You mentioned production for the year this year. The USDA is now pegging total production, that's total yield across the nation, at 12.914 billion bushels. That's a little bit bigger than what we actually harvested last year, but we had a pretty short crop last year. Last year it was 12.447. Ending stocks for this season, by the time we get to September, 940 million. Next year they have the ending stocks down at 714 million. And then let's talk about the yield numbers, because there are some pretty interesting numbers. Ohio at 158 bushels to the acre was off just 5. Indiana down 7 at 150. Illinois at 170 bushels to the acre. Iowa at 177. And then one that really threw me, Nebraska, which is at 166 bushels. And I wondered how the irrigated corn could not out-yield that in Illinois and Indiana.
Well, what you're seeing there is Nebraska had a large increase in dry land acreage this year. A lot of pasture ground, a lot of CRP acres went into ground. So that dry land corn with the July temperatures, it's got hurt real bad. So that is what you're seeing, I think, in Nebraska. That's the impact of the dry land corn of the expansion, because I think USDA has Nebraska up 7% on the acres or so. I've seen some data that would suggest that maybe Nebraska might have a higher plantings, but for now, at least USDA left, I think, Nebraska unchanged, up about 7%. But that's what you're seeing, is the dry land corn in Nebraska is pulling down the irrigated land.
And then you've got a 177 in Iowa and a 170 in Illinois?
Well, that's the first thing I noticed right away. I mean, those are the first two states I look at as number one and number two. And I have problems thinking that there's only a 7-bushel spread between Iowa and Illinois. Illinois, I think, in Iowa, there should be more than a 7-bushel spread, unless Iowa isn't as good as what we think. So I think one of those numbers are wrong, and my guess is from what I've seen here in central Illinois, and then kind of studying taking a look at the precip that we had during July and the heat, My guess is the Illinois yield's coming down. Over time, we don't know how much, but my guess is it's coming down. I can definitely understand Indiana's yield getting zapped real hard because they were dry, especially dry during July and the above normal temperatures. So my guess is that Illinois is going to come down some, and we'll kind of go from there. So that's why I think you'll see the trade begin to kind of look ahead after it digests today's report that we're probably going to see a little smaller reduction. And I'm not thoroughly convinced that USDA has accounted for all of the unharvested acres. I think unharvested is going to come up, or harvested is going to come down more as time goes on.
Okay, then we turn our attention to the soybeans, where we have a 41.4 national average bushels to the acre, and they're at a 3.056 billion bushel crop. That down from the 3.2 billion that had been previously estimated. What'd you make of those numbers?
Well, if that's true, then we're back down to 175 bushel carryout for next year. So then, the function of the soybean market now will be to encourage South Americans to plant as many soybean acres as they can plant to keep up with world demand. I think the USDA, I think that is probably a little bigger surprise that they brought the yield down 2 bushels on beans, because beans is more of an August month, and my guess is as late as the crop is, if for some reason we would get a nice good Corn Belt rain, I think the soybean yield could, I think 42.5 was still doable. But we haven't got that good rain yet. I think, when they brought the yield down to 142.5 or thereabouts, that really tightened up the balance sheet compared to what it looked like here a couple months ago.
Yeah, did today's report change any of your thinking about price forecast?
From a technical and cyclical perspective, I'm friendly into at least first half of September. I think new contract highs are in play for corn. I mean, really, when you look at it, we're only about 10 cents away or so from contract highs in these corn. Soybeans, I haven't given up on a push above 14 yet. The thing that worries me, though, is that it just seems when we start talking about $7 cash corn and $13.50, $14 cash beans, end users are scarce to find. When the market breaks back and you got $6 cash corn and you got more like $12 soybeans, you can find some buyers. So I think, depending upon how crazy the trade wants to get, and I think if it wasn't for the outside market turmoil that we were in, probably everything would have been lock limit today based upon the supply numbers. But I think outside market activity and people wanting to kind of walk away from the table, I think, is a price-limiting influence, at least for right now. But when you look at those supply-demand tables, you got to be bullish commodities. We're going to be right back at it again next year, worrying about another big crop, good plantings, good weather, and there's not going to be no buildup of stocks, and without a buildup of stocks, unless this economy goes off the cliff, prices are going to stay much stronger than I think people probably thought maybe a couple months ago.
Thanks so much, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois, joins us here on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. The United States Department of Agriculture has released its August crop production report estimating the size of the corn and soybean crops in the United States to be harvested yet this fall. Ag economist from the University of Illinois, Daryl Good, is here to go through those numbers. Let's begin, Daryl, by recapping just what those numbers looked like on August the 11th.
Well, in the case of corn, USDA's forecasting the potential for a national average yield of 153 bushels per acre. That's almost identical to the yield we had last year, with slightly more acres than we planted and harvested a year ago. That would give us a crop of about 12.9 billion bushels, a little more, which would be considerably larger than last year's crop. But I think, on the other hand, smaller than perhaps what the trade was expecting to see, at least in the August report. For soybeans, a U.S. average yield of 41.4 bushels. Again, that's probably a bushel and a half or so below the average trade guess. Acreage down, again, because of a fewer planted acres in the Dakotas. A crop of just over 3 billion bushels, I think, would be on the small end of what the trade was looking for. So that really tightens up the balance sheet for next year and really forces USDA to reduce the level of expected consumption just because of limited supply next year. So we are in, it looks like, into a bit of a rationing scenario for both corn and beans next year.
USDA predicting now the ending stocks for fall of 2012 will be 714 million bushels. That's a very tight supply. They get there, though, by doing some reduction in the consumption. What do those numbers look like?
Well, right across the board, USDA lowered their expected consumption of corn, ethanol exports, and feed use. Overall, the number came down, I believe, about 340 million bushels from what was being forecast last month, so about a 3% decline. And again, it may be a combination of, okay, we're moving into a very uncertain economic and financial scenario that speaks to demand weakness, but is also a bit of a statement of availability. I mean, consumption cannot be much higher than projected if we're going to maintain year-ending stocks near a 5% use ratio. So it's a combination of saying a little weaker demand, and we're seeing that in the old crop as the marketing year ended. Consumption slowed down quite a bit. But it's also some rationing is probably going to be required.
Average farm price, the cash price on the farm, raised 70 cents on both ends to what, 620 and to 720 now.
Right. And so, again, that's, you know, pretty consistent where the market is right now. You got December corn right after the report trading up close to 720, backed off a little bit from that. So you're looking at harvest bids, you know, 680 or so in much of the state, pretty consistent with what the USDA is forecasting. What we don't know, of course, is how much corn has already been sold and at what price. That will influence the average overall when it's all said and done. But certainly moving forward from here, you know, the upper $6 range seems like a reasonable expectation.
USDA again now at an average national yield of 153 bushels to the acre. It would be the third largest corn crop on record harvested in the United States. Is there much downside potential in the national yield and total crop harvested, you think, still?
I think there probably is some downside risk, depending a bit on how August weather pans out. For much of the crop, certainly ear fill is taking place in August. What does our average ear weight turn out to be? That's something that can't be measured in August. You can go out and measure how many plants, how many ears, how many kernels, but we don't know the weight of those until the crop matures and is harvested. So depending on how August weather unfolds, I think there is some potential for a slightly smaller yield estimate overall.
Now, last week you and I talked, and our listeners know what those numbers look like for Illinois at 153, around 150 area bushel national average for the corn crop. USDA at 153 national. That 153 for your Illinois average is way below the 170 that USDA has put out today.
Yeah, and of course, what we did is we looked at five previous years that had similar July weather. to what we've had in 2011, and really just took the average of the yields in those 5 years and said, you know, 153 is what those averages were. And that's what the only thing you can say is historically the kind of weather we had this year gave us those kind of yields when you adjust it for trend. And so this number comes in considerably higher than that, and we'll see where the final number comes in.
Suggests the possibility of a lot more volatility.
It does. I think there's a lot of uncertainty left, both on the production side and certainly on the economic/demand side of the equation as we move forward.
You think the USDA's average bushels per acre for soybeans is pretty close to right?
I mean, it's based on survey data, a combination of what farmers told them and what they found when they went into the field. And again, a lot of the yield potential is determined in August. What happens to the seed size and the seed weight is a big function of August weather. So all they can do is count plants, count pods, and to some extent, depending on the maturity, how many beans are in those pods. We don't know anything about bean weight at this point. So there's still considerable uncertainty. I suppose that number could go either way from here, depending on how favorable August weather is.
National average at 41.4 bushels to the acre for soybeans. Let's take up what producers might do in the marketing realm other than stand aside and watch, if, of course, that might be something they should do.
Well, I always start by saying it depends on what they've done to date. My concern is, based on recommendations that a lot of people have been making, that farmers have been real aggressive in forward pricing crops again this year, and now we find ourselves near the high in the corn market in particular. And so what do you do if you've already sold a large percentage of the crop is different than if you haven't sold any of the crop at this point. And certainly I think for anybody that is at the low end of sales, the kind of rally we're seeing post-report here is an opportunity to say, okay, we're near the highs of the market. We're well above the insurance price. We've got to do some marketing at this price. So I still think we don't want to be overall real aggressive. We've got a lot of production numbers yet to come and another year to look at the demand side of the market. And with the balance sheet as tight as it is, we're going to see a lot of volatility, but that means potential for even higher prices perhaps at some point.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Darrell Good, ag economist from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You are listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Some things on the calendar to make sure you keep track of. In the coming week, we will be out at three sites in Tuscola on Tuesday night and in Shelbyville on Wednesday night and El Paso on Thursday night with our Ag Outlook panels. Please do visit willag.org, that's willag.org, to check the times and places for each of those particular dates. If you'd like to come, they're always free. There are Will Ag Outlook panels. Check the calendar at willag.org. Next week, the State Fair Sale of Champions happens on Tuesday night in Springfield. And on Thursday during the day is Agronomy Day right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. Be sure to visit us. That kicks off at 7 a.m. I'll be sending the rack wagons into the research fields of the South Farms, not too far from the Assembly Hall on St. Mary's Road, 7 a.m. Thursday, August 18th of next week. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations now. In just a few moments, I'll return when we'll talk about the cash grain market with Matt Bennett of TGM. This is the Closing Market Report. Matt Bennett on the line, and he happens to actually to be at the State Fair in Springfield. Hi, Matt. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Todd?
Oh, I'm very, very good. So you're there showing cattle today, is that right?
Yeah, the kids are going to show the next 3 days. So,
well, that State Fair is always big fun. Hope you have a lot of fun over there. Looks like you're going to get really good weather. And I suppose you're hoping that rainfall comes despite the fact that you're on the fairgrounds, right?
Yeah, I think most of us would take any rain we can get. We just hope that it's not just at the fairgrounds and on none of our farms.
Well, we'll see how that pans out over the next 24 to 48 hours. What did you think of USDA's reports this morning?
I wasn't real surprised by the report this morning. Usually I think the USDA maybe isn't quite as aggressive on going lower on yield, but I think that maybe this year they kind of looked at things that happened maybe last year, and the weather pattern in some cases was fairly similar. And, you know, being in early August, it's tough to guess the yield on corn, but I think they probably did a pretty good job for a first guess, and it's awfully tough to guess the beans. So, you know, I wasn't real surprised about really any of the numbers this morning, and I wasn't too surprised about the market reaction either.
Hey, what did you think of the 170 for Illinois?
I thought that that's one number that I just didn't understand. I think that 170 is at least 10 bushels high. I really do. I think there's so many places in Illinois that are used to raising an excellent corn crop, you know, in the 200-plus range that are 50 bushel under that. So I'm kind of concerned with a couple of different states, but I think overall, you know, there might be a couple states that could be a hair low, and it's really tough to tell at this stage of the game. But I think August weather hasn't quite been what everyone thought it, you know, at least hoped that it might be. And so I really don't see that number, the 153, I don't see it getting any bigger.
Okay, well, you have a good day there at the State Fair. Make sure you have fun. Talk to you later.
Yep, thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with Windsor Grain. He's a TGM in Chicago, Illinois, in Windsor, Illinois. On the phone line now with us to take up the agricultural weather forecast for the afternoon is,
Pete Levin.
I'm sorry, Pete. You know what? The problem was I missed a time slot at the end of
and
32.
It is Thursday. Yes.
Yeah, it's Thursday, and it just threw me. I was thinking, oh, dang, I missed a time slot. But hey, we made it through anyway. So, Pete, tell me about this weather forecast that we're looking at. You heard Matt Bennett there say he was hopeful that we would get a rain not only in Springfield, where he is in Illinois at the state fairgrounds, but on his farm in Shelbyville, Illinois, and the eastern part of the state of Illinois. Will that be the case over the next 24 to 48 hours?
Yes, I think so. Mostly in that 24 to 48 hour period. After a beautiful day today, unless you're looking for rain, of course. But a beautiful day for the fair today, and then we're going to see some cloudiness developing tomorrow. And tomorrow night, we should start to see one of two systems bring showers eastward across Illinois. Most of the activity along and south of Interstate 80, so that's most of the central and downstate areas, which should see it Friday night and Saturday. Maybe a brief respite on Saturday, but then more rain late Saturday, Saturday night. And I think the total amounts from all this precipitation should get you between 3/4 of an inch and 1.5 inches pretty generally through the area. So I think that'll be welcome relief for this dryness.
It'll be good for the bean crop and for the corn crop as it fills out, although the corn crop is suffering pretty greatly in some parts of the state. What's your assessment of crop progress across the Midwest?
Well, it's you have the two types of crops. With corn, it works on a clock basis, and it needs to get the right weather at the right time. It can't wait for the weather to improve, and so it's been under stress from several different varieties of weather, whether it be too hot in the southwest and the north in some areas, too dry in the central portions of the belt, too wet in the west and northwest portions of the belt, all these things contributing to less than ideal yields, and without the capacity really of catching up on anything. They've managed to bring the rate of maturation into line to about normal. We're getting into dough stage at about normal for most of the crop, and we'll be denting pretty much on time. But the problem is that the crop needs its energy to make and fill grain, and a lot of that's been going on to playing catch-up, and the combination of the very warm nights through the month of July and has taken its toll. The weather conditions, I think, from here forward are pretty generally ideal. We're not looking for any early very cold weather. We're not looking for additional heat to come. We are looking for improvements in precipitation as we move through the week. So things should start to show up a little bit better. But I'm inclined to agree that I think ultimately the yields, at least in Illinois, are going to be below that very optimistic 170 we saw this morning.
Thank you so much, Pete, for taking time with us today.
My pleasure.
Meteorologist Pete Labatt joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Our guest on Commodity Week this week, by the way, will be Dan Bossy with Ag Resource, and you can find that at willag.org. Have a good day.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.